Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Palm Sunday's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered in it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let him go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our eternal King, dear fellow redeemed. If I were to say to you four words, what's the first thing that would come to your mind? Donkey? Palm branches, Hosanna. No doubt the first thing you think about is Palm Sunday. For those four words, help us remember the events that took place on that remarkable day some 1,990 years ago. For the disciples, that day was probably the pinnacle, the high point of their following their Savior Jesus. Things seemed to be falling into place, meshing together. Because finally, Jesus now receiving the welcome, the reaction, the response that he deserved. They finally were calling him King. What a glorious day that must have been for the disciples and for Jesus. Pretty much the whole town came out to welcome this procession of a few ragtag followers and this humble rabbi. They sang their praises. They cried out their hosannas to the Son of David. But what an odd procession. Here leading that procession, receiving a welcome that was only for royalty or for a king, was a poor rabbi with 12 poor, mostly uneducated followers and maybe a few others. And to top it all off, he was riding on a beast of burden, a donkey. What kind of procession is that? Only the greatest procession of all time. This procession that began in Bethany took Jesus to Jerusalem, to the judgment hall, to Calvary's cross, to the empty tomb. During this procession, Jesus went from being worshipped and adored to ridiculed and rejected, to crucified and killed, to being resurrected and glorified. As we begin this year, watch this procession unfold. We lay this theme upon your hearts. Behold, look, see your King coming. He comes to us. Three parts. We see your King coming to us as a sacrificial lamb. We see your King coming to us in humility. And we see your King coming to us to bring us peace. In order for us to understand the first part of our theme, and that is, we see Jesus coming as our sacrificial lamb, we need to know on what day this Palm Sunday took place. And we know the day. It was the 10th of Nisan. How do we know that? Well, the Passover was always celebrated on the 14th of Nisan. And it was on Thursday, 4 days later, that Jesus and his disciples celebrated the Passover. So go back 4 days. That's Sunday. It's the 10th of Nisan. So why is that important? Well, let's read Exodus chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the tenth day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" Nisan was the first month of the Jewish New Year. It'd be kind of like our spring months, like March or April, but like our time. And on the 10th day of that first month, every single person would go out into their flocks on the 10th day and choose a Passover lamb. It'd be a male lamb, a one-year-old male lamb, a lamb without any defect or spots or broken bones or scabs. In fact, a perfect specimen of a lamb. It was not by coincidence that Jesus rode to Jerusalem on that very day, the 10th of Nisan. For on that day, he was being chosen to be the Passover lamb who had shed his blood, not only for every Jewish person, but for every single person in the world. Jesus would shed his blood upon the cross for the sins of all people. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and this was the day that he was chosen to be the Passover, the sacrificial lamb. God had chosen his son to be that lamb way back in eternity. And now, in time, the people of Jerusalem were also choosing him to be their Passover lamb, although the majority didn't really know what they were doing. Lamb of God, pure and holy, who on the cross did suffer, ever patient and lowly, thyself to scorn didst offer. All sins thou borest for us, else had despair reigned o'er us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Never again would the Jewish people have to go into their flocks on the 10th of Nisan to choose a lamb for their Passover. All the millions upon millions of lambs over the past 2,000 years since the first Passover that had been killed and slaughtered as a Passover lamb, they all pointed to this one, to Jesus, who is the fulfillment of this Passover. The hymn writer puts it so very well when he writes, "Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace, nor wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they." As our chosen sacrificial lamb, as our Passover lamb, Jesus shed his blood, the very blood of the Son of Man and the Son of God. He absorbed the justice of God for us. He bore all of our sins, carrying them to the cross, and then he bore damnation for us, being forsaken by his Father. He was like a lamb being led to the slaughter. He silently, willingly allowed himself to be sacrificed so that we would have life. Secondly, behold our King coming to us in humility. We notice that Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem with a powerful, mighty soldier of thousands of troops or a bunch of hundreds of captives. He didn't even ride on a golden chariot or a stallion. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey with only a handful of followers. He didn't even own the donkey upon which he was riding. As far as we know, Jesus owned no home, owned no land, and no animals. He was poor. Yet he was a king. And on this day, he was declared to be the king. Disciples put their clothes on top of that colt, the foal of a donkey, and Jesus sat on that. And then they came down from the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem and began to shout their praises for all that God had done. And amazingly, people came pouring out from the city of Jerusalem. They began to shout their praises, their hosannas, which means save, we pray. They tore down palm branches, waved them in the air, laid them on the ground, and the people took off their coats, laid him on the ground so that the donkey's hoofs could not touch the dirt. Another sign of glory and honor to the person riding upon that donkey. The multitude of people not only treated Jesus as a king and honored him as a king, they declared him to be a king. In the Gospel of Luke, which also records this event, we're told the people cried out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And John writes in his Gospel, they cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Ironic, isn't it? The King of Israel. And 5 days later, what the chief priests say, "We have no king but Caesar." In Mark, which is the same words as Matthew, we read, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus had been glorified. And yet Jesus came to this world in humility. He humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. We heard that in our first reading. We read again the first verses of Philippians 2, "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." And why did he do this? The Apostle Paul tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus had to humble himself to become a human being just like you and I, so that he would keep the law of God perfectly, live a perfect obedient life in order to be the perfect sacrifice for you and me. By doing this, Jesus made us immeasurably rich. We've inherited Jesus' treasures. His treasures of forgiveness of sins, salvation, everlasting life, peace, joy, oneness with God. These are the real treasures we have right now through faith. And they will take with us when we die into eternity. You can't buy these treasures. They're given to us freely by our humble King. And thirdly, we see that our King comes to us to bring us this peace. Jesus did not use one single man-made weapon. No spears, no swords, no knives, no clubs. He had no army, and yet he was the mightiest, most powerful King the world has ever seen. And how do you achieve peace to all the world in this war-torn world? By being defeated. By dying. Worldly kings win and conquer by defeating their enemies. Jesus won and conquered by being defeated. Worldly kings win and conquer by putting their enemies to death. Jesus won and conquered by being put to death. Worldly kings rule with laws and force and fear. Jesus rules with love and grace and mercy. How do we know all this? Because of Jesus' victorious resurrection. Sin, death, and hell have all been conquered because Jesus rose back to life and lives and reigns throughout all eternity. Satan's dungeon of hell has been shut and locked to all of us who believe in Jesus and look upon him as our Savior King. We have real peace, a peace of soul, a peace of knowing that we have oneness now, peace between us and our Heavenly Father. We have that peace of heart and soul knowing that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Our future here on earth and our future in heaven is completely assured through Jesus. Death and hell have no power over us. And yet Satan, every day, he's shouting at us, he's screaming at us, "You're a damn sinner." He tries to make us remember those sins that we did yesterday, last week, Maybe he tries to make us remember even those sinful thoughts that we had that we would never want anyone even see in the light of day. Make us twinge, our conscience twinge with pain and suffering when we think about, how could I have said that? How could I have done that? How could I have thought those things? He wants us to feel the weight of our sins and become depressed. He tries to shake our fear because of worry and doubt with this pandemic of ours that we see in this world. He tries to also lead us to panic or become upset and disgruntled because we have nothing to do for so long and our life has changed so much. But Jesus gives us real peace and contentment. Jesus suffered and died for us. So when Satan comes to you and accuses you of sin, you just simply point to Jesus and say, Jesus suffered and died for me to pay for all of my sins. Get behind me, Satan. And when Satan comes to you and wants you to panic, be fearful, or doubt or worry about God's love in this pandemic, we can say, Jesus promised me in his word that he'll be with me always. He'll never leave me. He'll not allow anything eternally harmful to befall me as a believer in him. We're told in Revelation 12, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We can confidently sing, be thou my shield and hiding place, that sheltered near thy side, I may my fierce accuser face and tell him, thou hast died. O wondrous love, to bleed and die, to bear the cross and shame, that guilty sinners such as I might plead thy gracious name. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode to Jerusalem as king, humbly allowing himself to suffer and die to bring us peace. Today he rides into our hearts as king. The question is, are we living as his subjects? Is his word ruling our desires, our thoughts, our words, our actions? Is Jesus ruling as king in our relationships with our spouse, our children, our parents, our friends, our teachers, our fellow workers? Is his word ruling us in such a way that we want to be his servants? We want to first and foremost serve him with all that we have and then serve each other out of love? Is Jesus really the king, the ruler, the Lord in our lives? Or have we at times replaced him with our own leadership, with our own rules, with our own desires, with our own needs and what we want? Well, if so, this Palm Sunday, may this Palm Sunday be a recommitment of our souls and lives under Christ, our Heavenly King. May the Holy Spirit lead us to surrender our hearts, our lives, our bodies, our souls to Jesus, our humble yet victorious King. For then and only then can we join in and follow this procession that goes from the crown of Palm Sunday to the cross of Good Friday, to the glorious empty tomb of Easter. And then we too can, this evening, proclaim, Hosanna, Lord! Save us, we pray, King! Blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the kingdom of our father, David, that comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Amen. The peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.